Chapter 12. The Promise is Broken. One evening, after dark, I stopped working as there was not enough light. I sat in my laboratory thinking. What if the woman I created was even more evil than the monster? What if she refused to live in isolation with the monster? What if she decided to leave her ugly partner and look for a more attractive man? What if they had children? For the first time, I realized the wickedness of my promise. Suddenly, in the moonlight, I saw the monster at the window. He had followed me and had come to see my progress and to claim his partner. I looked at his horrible face, and I thought that I must have been mad to promise to create another being like him. Trembling with anger, I tore my work to pieces and promised myself that I would never resume it. The monster gave a howl of despair and burst into the room to confront me. "You have destroyed the work which you began! You are breaking your promise to me! I suffered exhaustion, cold and hunger to follow you here! Remember that I have the power to make your life completely miserable. Yes, I am breaking my promise. I will never create another creature like yourself. Your threats do not frighten me. Leave me!" The monster saw the determination in my face, and his face filled with anger. "Every man has someone to love except me!" he cried. "You will not be happy while I am alone and miserable. I will have my revenge. I will go now. But remember this, I will be with you on your wedding night." I leapt forward and tried to seize him, but he escaped and ran from the house. A few moments later, I saw him in his boat sailing rapidly across the water, and then he disappeared from sight. It was silent in the room, but his words sounded in my head. I would die on my wedding night. I was not afraid, but when I thought of Elizabeth and how sad she would be, my eyes filled with tears, and I cried for the first time in months. The next day I was sitting by the sea when I saw a fishing boat arrive. One of the men brought me a package. It contained a letter from Clerval, saying that he had to return to London before setting out for India. He asked me to join him before he left Scotland. I decided that I would leave the island 2 days later. But before I left, there was one thing that I had to do. I had to pack up my chemical instruments. The thought made me shiver, but early the next morning, I found the courage to enter the room and collect my instruments. The remains of the half-finished creature lay on the floor. I realized that I could not leave them there for the islanders to find, so I put them all into a basket filled with heavy stones, and I decided that I would drop them into the sea late that night. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, I took the basket, got into my little boat, and sailed out to sea. As soon as the moon was covered by a cloud and everything was dark, I threw the basket and its contents into the water. I heard it fall, and then I sailed away. The noise of the waves sent me to sleep, and when I woke up, it was morning. A strong wind had blown my boat off course, and I had no idea where I was. I was frightened at the thought that the wind might blow the boat into the Atlantic Ocean, so I sailed on until I saw land to the south of me. I landed, and I was tying up the boat when I realized that I was surrounded by people. They did not offer to help me, but whispered to each other in a rather alarming way. I realized that they were speaking English and said, "My good friends, please tell me the name of this town and where I am."
"You will know that soon enough," replied one of the men. "You have come to a place that you might not like very much. In Ireland, we do not like criminals."
I was very surprised to hear this rude answer, and also at the angry faces of the people around me. I was about to walk away when an unpleasant-looking man said to me,
"Come, sir, you must follow me to Mr. Kerwin, the magistrate, and explain the death of a gentleman who was murdered here last night." The answer startled me, but I soon recovered. I was innocent. That could be proved quite easily. Although I was almost dropping with exhaustion and hunger, I followed the man to Mr. Kerwin.